So today, you might remember that it's This Is My Story Day, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit all month as our advantage. We've given you lots of scripture to look at and understand, and lots of illustrations and all that, but there's something that cannot be compared to personal stories, in my opinion. So I'm going to invite you, if you're a regular member of or a regular attender of Oak River, after I'm finished telling a couple of stories, I am going to invite anybody who wants to come up and share a story. And the goal is to share a story of when the Holy Spirit gave you something that you needed to give away to someone else. Okay? Does that make sense? Whether it was a word, an encouraging word, or a healing touch, or whatever. I don't want to put parameters on it, but that's what we're looking for. Something that the Holy Spirit gave you that you knew couldn't come from within yourself, but that then you gave away to someone. And I have two little stories to share first, just to get your brains going, if that makes sense. First of all, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is active in my life every single day. Sometimes it's with bells and whistles, and sometimes it's not. Truly. The two stories I have for you are more bells and whistles. But honestly, the Holy Spirit gives me peace every single day. The Holy Spirit gives me guidance every single day that I ask Him. The Holy Spirit, I will come to a situation or to a person and I will say, God, I need you. Help me to see this situation through your eyes. Help me to see this person through your eyes. And the Holy Spirit is so good at that. And I don't want to discount that in any way. Sometimes I'll read a passage in the Bible and I'm like, huh? And I'll say, Holy Spirit, teach me what it means. And I will say there are times when I get insight immediately and there are times when I don't. I think we've lost the art of waiting. And sometimes I think God just wants us to wait in His presence because He knows if He gives us the answer immediately, we'll jump up and go. And if we don't get the answer immediately, we'll be more likely to sit still and be in His presence. So I just wanted to put that out there. The first story I have for you happened years ago. Some of you were here when it happened. Oak River Church, as small as it was and is, we went through a 12-month period where we lost four of our church family members in 12 months. And three of them were very tragic and very unexpected. And it covered almost all the age ranges, too. And it was hard. It was hard to get up every Sunday afterwards and say, well, here we are again. You know, it was awful. And there's something about walking in grief that's just exhausting. It just is. It beats you up on the inside and on the outside somehow. And so after that 12-month period, the following January, I just felt called to go out to Bethel in California, Bethel Redding in California. And Rhonda volunteered to go with me, which was so gracious and kind of her. And we didn't go for a conference. I just wanted to go somewhere and hear from the Lord because I was tired and I felt beat up. And I felt like I was carrying the weight of your grief with you. And it was my grief too, you know, like it was tough. So we went out to Bethel just for the weekend services. And one of the things they did, I think it was Sunday afternoon, they invited anyone to come in for a prophetic word. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, giving a prophecy, right? Remember I told you prophecy is for encouragement and strengthening, comforting the believer. And so I walked into a room, she walked into a room, and they called our names. They didn't know us from Adam. They knew nothing about our stories. They knew nothing. They didn't ask any questions. I just sat down in front of a girl, a lady, and she prayed, and then she started talking to me. And Rhonda was in a different chair across the room, and a different lady was talking to her. right? But the lady that was talking to me, she started saying, you know, I see that you have really been walking through deep grief with a lot of people. And I was like, what? She said, but I believe that God is giving you a gift to walk with them through their grief, but then I see you leading them to the throne room of God in their grief. And you're sitting with them in their pain, but you're leading them to Jesus in the middle of it. And by now I'm sobbing, of course, you know. And I was so touched because I walked away from that experience feeling so seen and so understood and so loved. And at the same time, it gave me a focal point moving forward that when I walked with someone through grief, that I could help them find the presence of Jesus in their pain. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives insight. He gave insight to that woman she could not have possibly known without the Holy Spirit. And then use that word to encourage me and strengthen me and then to send me out to bless other people. That's how it works. The other one I want to share with you is more recent. This happened last Thursday morning. This was in my regular devotional time. I was just, you know, reading. I have a commitment to read and pray every morning. It's just part of my day. Some days it's 30 minutes and some days it's 2 hours, depending on how much freedom I have in my schedule. And this Thursday morning, in my regularly scheduled reading, I read the book of Habakkuk. Now, I've been inspired by that book before, but this time something was different on it for me. And God was like, I felt like words were jumping off the page at me and concepts that I had never noticed before were going, whoom, like this. And I was like, I felt like I was given a whole message in 10 minutes. It just came. And I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. But I was like, this doesn't really fit our theme next month. What is this? When am I going to share this, you know? And I knew it was a good message. And I thought, well, maybe that was just for me. Maybe God just wanted me to see it. And that's fine, too. There's nothing wrong with that. But a few hours later, I get a call from the Haven of Rest in Akron. And they have a homeless women's shelter there for homeless women for different reasons that they're homeless. And they stay in the shelter. And they said, hey, we had a last minute cancellation. Can you come and speak Monday night? And I was like, oh, yeah, I can. Because I knew God had already given me the message for those precious ladies. And when I found out where I was going to be sharing it, I was like, oh, this makes sense. This is perfect for them. If I had gotten the phone call before I got the message, I would never have been able to come up with such a perfect message for them. Like, it was the Holy Spirit. And this is what He does. He gives you supernatural insight or supernatural power or supernatural whatever you need in that moment to turn around and be a blessing to someone else, to strengthen a believer, to comfort a believer, to encourage a believer, or to lead a non-believer to Jesus. That's what He does. I told you last week when Peter preached, 3,000 people came to the Lord. Because of His message and because of the demonstration of tongues they had seen. So I'm wondering if any of you have a story that you want to share. Again, it doesn't have to be lights and sirens story. It can be something much quieter and much more peaceful. But if you have a story, I would love to hear from some of you. And if not, I'm going to preach Habakkuk to you. I have a sermon in my back pocket. Okay, Holly.
At our church back in Michigan, they would frequently have these conferences, and it was not uncommon for them to say, okay, pray with the person next to you and, you know, give them a word from the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh, why? I suck at this, you know? And, it puts pressure on you. And I was sitting next to somebody I've never met. He's not from our church. He was there, you know, for the conference. And I'm like, I'm like explaining, I'm not Mary Ganathan's. Sorry if I get nothing for you, you know? And so I said, just give me a moment. And so I just put my hand on his shoulder and I just focused on the love of God for him, you know? And that's just what I do with anybody that I pray for, is just like, God, let me feel the love you have for this person. And all I saw was this brief picture of a playground with swings and a bunch of dark-haired little kids running around and one blonde boy on the swinging. And I was like, I'm looking at this guy. He has like jet black hair and jet black, like he didn't have a beard, but you could see like his 5 o'clock shadow coming in, and it was dark, and he had kind of olive colored skin. And I'm like, okay. So I said, and this is why you should just tell the person what you see and don't add or subtract anything, because I'm trying to interpret and you can't interpret. So I said, do you happen to have a son? Because he was like in his 20s, and I was like, I don't think he's too young to have a kid. And he said, no, I don't. I said, okay, well then I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I said, I see a playground and there's just a big bank of swings and some kids running around. They all have dark hair except for one little blonde boy and everything. And he just, his eyes got as big as saucers, and he's like, I was raised in a Muslim country, and I was a towhead when I was little. I had blonde hair, and I was the only kid with blonde hair, and all we had were swings to swing on and everything. And I looked back at him like, oh, you know. And then he was like, what do you think that means? And, you know, and he's like, do you have anything else? You know, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not good at this, you know, and everything. But, I just said, you know, I think it's just God saw that, you know, like he saw you then, you know, and that he was with you then, you know. And so it was so cool for both of us because, you know, but anyways, that's it.
That's good. Do you notice the risk she had to take, though? That's one thing about my experience with the Holy Spirit. It almost always takes some level of risk for me to step out and go, I think I'm supposed to pray for you, or I think I have something I'm seeing for you, or whatever. It's hard. And sometimes I'll even preface it by saying, I'm practicing listening to God. Sometimes I get it right and sometimes I don't. Like, seriously. And that's okay. That's okay. But I love your courage to share such a personal thing. You know, that's beautiful. It doesn't make sense to you, but it made sense to him. I love that. And talk about feeling seen. He felt seen, this is what God does. Anybody else have a story? Ron, did you say? Or Jerry? One of you? Both of you?
That rascal said age before beauty as I walked past. Real quick, you've all heard most of my stories, but maybe not these. We'll start by saying, when I was little, I couldn't swim. I had an older cousin, and we were by this stream, and I told him I can't swim. All the other kids were swimming. And you might guess what he did. He grabbed me by the collar and the seat of the pants and tossed me in. And sometimes I think the Holy Spirit does that to us, just tosses us in. And we either swim or, well, we end up swimming, let's put it that way. Two quick stories. This is back many years ago, probably late 80s, early 90s. I used to do the opening in church. In our little Methodist church, we had there was a lectern over on this side where common people spoke, and the pulpit was over here where only the Holy of Holy pastors spoke, you know. And so this particular morning, we were having a guest speaker. The pastor was at a conference or on vacation or something, and I was elected to introduce the guest speaker. So I'm waiting for him to show up, and nothing's happening. It's time to start the service. Nobody's there. So, maybe he's running late because we were on a two-church charge, and he was speaking at the other church first. So I do the opening. We do some prayer and some songs and blah, blah, blah. And it's time for him to show up, and he's not here. And I said to the congregation, either God's going to show up and something, or we're going to have a short service today. And I walk from the lectern over to the pulpit. And God gave me a message to speak. I don't know what I said, but it impressed me that the Holy Spirit can drop something in when you need it. It would have been nice to have it a little earlier, but that's the first instance. The second one is along about the same time, early 90s. I was in Brazil with a mission team, and we had gone to a school to minister to the kids. And we've done that a few times, and it was okay. You know, sing some songs and encourage them, blah, blah. We got to the end of this, and the director of the school says, hey, now I want you all to break up into ones and twos. We're sending the kids to the classroom, and you go talk to them. Okay. It's one thing to be part of a team. It's another one thing to be one-on-one. So they, you go here. And I was sent to this one particular classroom, terrified. What am I going to say to these kids one-on-one? I walk in, it's not kids. They're in their 20s. At that time, I was a school teacher. That was a room full of student teachers. Okay, what am I going to say to them? And I went deep into prayer. And that year, that school year, this was in the summer, that school year, one of my students had tried to commit suicide. Failed. Went through all the trauma of that, came back to school, and he and I had a lot of conversations about why and what now. And so I shared that with these people, saying, you need the Lord in your life because you don't know what's going to come up. Okay, I thought I did a pretty good job and was done, and one of the other team members was with me. I was going to hand it over to her to say something, and she said, you need to ask him if anyone wants the Lord. The way she phrased it is, you need to throw the net. You forgot to cast the net on the other side. So I offered the invitation. Now, there were 29 students in that room. 28 hands went up. I found out later the one that didn't go up was saved. The other one didn't. 28 of them accepted the Lord that day because God threw me into the river. And so what am I saying? You may not know in advance, but when God throws you in, he will show up. He will not leave you alone. Right, Holly? Right. Jerry. Yeah.
I should have said experienced over less experienced, but the beauty is actually Shauna, because this is a story about her. So we recently had a little hiccup with Shauna's car. and she had taken her sister to our mechanic and was picking up her car, and she came home and pulled into the driveway, and she's like, "My car's ticking. Do you hear it?" And I had the music going out. I had stereo in the garage, and I like to play it while I'm outside. So I turned it down, and I came out, and there's like, click, 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 click. Oh, my gosh. And then oftentimes, I get anxious about things. But when we saw this, I was like, okay, just be calm. And it was like, I just felt like, just be calm. I told Shauna, well, we'll just have to take it to Kevin and see what's going on. So it took a few days for us to be able to get in there, and we took it in. I drove the car up there, and every single possible warning was on the car. It was in limp mode, driving at 35 miles an hour down the lakeshore. And we pull in the parking lot, and Kevin comes out, and he's like, shut it off, because the car was just ticking all over the place. And he goes, this is bad. This is really, really bad. And I'm like, okay, well, let's do what we need to do. And he opened it up, and he looked at it, and he's like, oh, it's a rocker arm, or it's a lifter or something like that, and it's going to be, you know, a lot. I'll give you an estimate to inspect it, and then I'll give you an estimate later of what it's going to cost. And we were like, okay, Lord. And we're just like, but this Holy Spirit was still saying, don't get upset, don't get anxious about this. And I say, okay, we'll just deal with what happens. So we get a call in the next day, and he goes, well, he seemed excited because he was like, well, I found the problem. There's a issue with the timing belt cover. There was a crack in it, and I could see that the pulley that was holding the timing belt is hanging down, and I could see it through the crack, and it's better than what we thought. And I go, we just had that timing belt changed a few months ago. And he's like, well, I don't see it on your records. I said, well, we did it. And then he looked under Shauna's records, and he found that they did it. He goes, well, that changes everything. It took him four days to do it, but they replaced the timing belt chain, and there was a broken bolt that was the wrong material from the company that supplied the parts. So he covered it all under warranty. So she got the timing belt changed, the oil and the coolant changed, and everything repaired. It did take time, but we got it back on Friday. Shauna was really happy. But when things hit you in the face, things that seem like are insurmountable, expensive problems, yeah, take a moment and just say, God, yeah, you got this. You've got it. And something else came up that I'm going to share that is from way back when I was still very young in my faith, back in like 96, 97. I was attending a church Bible study and a home group. And I had had an accident in my car, and I had really torqued my back bad. And I had gotten prayer for healing, and that healing was very significant for me. Sometimes I still get tweaked back there, but it was just significant. And somebody stood up and said, I have back pain, and it's really bad. And something just told me, it's like, hey, you got healed. You know, the Spirit told me, you got healed. You need to pray for this person. So I got up, and you remember Jerry Jazwa? He was there with me, and he was really instrumental in teaching me how to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. So we prayed for this person, and when I laid my hand on the back, I felt flame, power, like fire, heat coming through by hand. And after we were done, the person said, I felt like there was a laser doing surgery on my back. And she got healed. It was amazing. So praise God for that. But, you know, God works today. He's not Old Testament or even 2,000 years ago. He works today.
Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. He's a wonderful God. Anybody else have a story they want to share? Doug? Come, tell your story.
Look at me. Don't look at me.
I don't know. How long have we been doing this? About 40 years? 40, I think. Anyways, we started going to a church that was really growing. It was in Willoughby Hills, and it was the happening church all of a sudden. It seemed like there'd be one here, one there, but this particular church was really happening. And is this thing real loud for some reason? One, two, three. I don't know. I don't use that one. So anyways, this church had a tape player and an overhead machine, and one morning everything went wrong. So I had told them that I know a few chords on the piano. Maybe I could help out. And I said, I'll do it until somebody else comes along. Okay, so somehow we ended up with a group of people that were decently musically, you know, worship. And I think we moved on from there, and we were at Church on the Rise, I think. No, it was the same church. It was called Dayspring Fellowship. So we're playing along, and it's getting close to Christmas, and this pastor goes, we need a cantata. We need a cantata for Christmas. I go, a cantata? What is that? What is a cantata? And I go home, and I'm telling her, I go, I don't even know how to spell it, you know. I could probably work that out, cantata. But anyways, so about a month or so before Christmas was coming along, this guy starts coming to our church. He had two daughters, and he came up to me and said, hey, you guys sound pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And then he told me he's a pianist. I go, oh, okay. And he said, we used to go to this church here, and some things went wrong in his life. He was getting divorced, and he was really very, very kind of depressed, kind of a depressed guy. And so he's telling me he's got all this equipment. And I said, yeah, we got to write a cantata, or we got to come up with a Christmas cantata. And he says, well, I can do that. I go, what? He says, yeah, I have this box. It was like a band in a box, they used to call it. I mean, it's all computerized. He could do it all. And I go, you got to be kidding me. And I said, you're on. Let's go. You help me do this. He was all, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. So he goes home, and he's got a choir assembled. He's got us in a band put together, you know, and back up with this band in the box thing. And it came to the Christmas. This cantata was amazing. I was so, you know, happy to be part of it. And it was great. You know, Christmas passed, and later on this guy comes up to me. He joined us. He started playing like a keyboard. And he was really, really good, really talented guy. He also sold pianos. But the one thing about it was that I didn't know about was he was on the edge of committing suicide. Wow. He goes, you don't know this, but you saved my life. Wow. I didn't do anything. He says, well, you asked me to put this cantata together, and it redirected it gave him something to do, you know. And it wasn't me that did it. It was somebody who is using me to save this guy's life, you know.
Right.
And you know, God works that way through all of us. You know, we don't know what's going on. And he ended up getting married, had a couple of kids with his new wife, and one kid's some guitar tech down in Nashville. But he got through it. He got through it. This cantata, whatever happened, you know, redirected his whole thing. But another story, everybody's got two stories. Anyways, yeah. This other story was, we were doing worship nights. We were with a church in Westlake, or Church on the Rise, it was called. And we were doing nights of worship. We were going to Kent State, and we went to a couple different places. And we were up in this, we did Kent State, and we expected a large crowd. It was a 1,000-seat auditorium, and I think there was 20 people sitting there. But we went for it, and it was gangbusters, and we just had the best time. The next night, we played at a house with all our gear. I don't know, we had about 16 people and their families and our kids and everybody. We played on a third floor, you know, those old Cleveland-style houses that have three floors, and there's one little area up in the upstairs. Well, they wanted us to play up there, so we had to carry all our gear up to this little, like a living room. We were in a living room, horns and violins and keyboards and drums and you name it. So we did our night of worship and carried everything, went home. Later on, we heard that there was a girl had brought her parents. Her parents were getting divorced. They basically hated each other at the time. And she somehow got them to come to this night of worship. And the end result was they fell back in love, decided not to get divorced, and also accepted the Lord in their lives, you know. So those are just two stories. There's a million. As long as we've been doing this, we haven't seen nothing. We heard about it after the fact. We just went and did worship, you know, and gave it all we had. And it wasn't for our glory. It was for God's glory. That's all, folks.
I really feel strongly to share something with you. If you're sitting here and you heard these stories, and the enemy is trying to convince you that could never happen to you, he is a big, fat liar. Okay? You turn on the faucet. And whatever comes out, comes out. If it's bells and whistles, great. If it's not, great. You just leave the faucet running and let the Holy Spirit lead. That's all you do. But don't let anyone convince you that it can't happen to you. Listen to the stories and let them build your faith for the possibilities that it can happen to you. Okay? If you want to be used by the Lord, ask Him. I surrender myself to you. I will take whatever risk you tell me to take to be used by you, to point someone to you, to encourage someone to you. Okay? The second thing is, I think there's a reason that two different people brought up suicide. So if you're in the room right now and you have been haunted by the thought that the world would be better off without you, I want to assure you that's not the truth. That is not the truth. So if you need prayer after the service, please come up and say, I need prayer because I'm being taunted a lot by wondering if the world would be better off without me. God, right now, I speak hope and encouragement over anyone who is battling that thought. And God, I pray for courage to come into their hearts to say something to you, to say something to someone they trust that they're struggling. Lord, don't let them struggle. Encounter them. Don't let them give in to those taunts, but encounter them with your love right now. Pour out your love on them, Father, by your Holy Spirit. pour out your gracious love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for the stories. I'm sure some of you will have more, or maybe you already have more. Share them with someone after church. It doesn't have to be up here on the microphone. Some people get freaked out by this. I know. Tim, I didn't see you. You snuck in. Good to see you too. Carly's dad. So next week, we're starting a new theme called Experience Jesus. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good month experiencing Jesus. And Willie's going to kick it off with a message he's calling Praise, Prayer, and Purpose. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Of course, we have chats, coffee, bagels, fruit out in the foyer, but we also have a surprise today. Who likes surprises? Yes, I like surprises too, if they're good surprises. We have brought the Kona shaved ice truck. Everybody gets a shaved ice today, okay? Heather has been doing food truck theme in River Kids all summer. And so we're like, well, for back to school, let's just bring a food truck in. So we went back and forth on what to bring, and we decided on Kona ice. Hopefully it's not raining out there. But if it is, oh, well, we'll party anyway, right? So enjoy that and have a great week. And I love you guys.